welcome to the broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name's Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome, everybody, to the broadcast. How's it going, ladies?
Yay.
Yeah.
Episode 15, which means we are celebrating by getting drunk in our parents' basement.
It's our continuing.
Mom and Daddy are home.
But we have to make sure to refill all the bottles with water so they don't know anything is wrong.
Exactly. Yes. But so we have dubbed tonight Martinis and Frito night.
And I don't drink martinis, so I have champagne. Yeah. Rosé.
Woo! That's Amanda shaking the Fritos. My Fritos are on the floor, and I was just telling them, I have a wonderful, delicious vodka and olive juice martini. I'm so excited for all the bloat that's going to happen tomorrow. Woo! But I was just telling them that I have a sinus infection, and on top of that, I was in California in the desert this past weekend, and my lips got totally chapped, and now they're peeling, so the salts from the martini is, like, killing me a little bit slowly right now. My goal is to drink it fast enough that the next one, I won't feel it.
Life goals.
But I am sorry for the random coughing. I'm going to try to do that away from the microphone. But anyway, how's it going, ladies? It's been a really crazy fucking week for America and for us individually.
Yeah, I feel like we're a lifetime away from where we were this time last week.
We seriously are. And we got the highest amount of downloads ever for our last episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
To which I turned to Jay and went, fuck, that many people heard me say that I'm in the Mile High Club. Great.
That's what drove them all there.
Yeah.
That's so great.
I know. Even Jack texted me today. He was like, great numbers for the broadcast. And I was like, I know. I hope that there's like not something messed up with their algorithm that it's going to be wrong or something.
Nope.
No. We're entertaining. People like us.
Yeah. Good times. Yes.
Yay.
Just in time for us to get really, really shitty on martinis and champagne and have people get turned off and never listen again.
Wait, Colleen, I have a question.
Yes.
It's a very serious question. It's a very important question.
Yes.
Those olives, are those blue cheese stuffed olives?
Fuck yeah, they are.
Yes.
Look.
Oh, very nice. See, they don't sell that in my grocery store, which is surprising.
Oh, yeah. No, it's legit, man. Blue cheese stuffed.
Yeah, mine's just the plain old regular olives with the pimento in it.
Yeah, I mean, I love some pimento cheese, but I love pimento cheese in deviled eggs.
Well, no, it's the pimento, like the little red.
Yeah, no, I know.
Pepper. Yeah.
I don't like those in martinis. Jay and I went out to get a drink on last Friday. That also feels like a lifetime ago. The day I Instagrammed the picture of my martini. And he got there like 10 minutes before I did and ordered like our drinks. And I sat down and I was like, oh, they don't do the blue cheese olive anymore. And then the bartender overheard me. So I felt like an asshole. So that's how I ended up with six different olives in my drink.
Right.
So,
nice.
Good times. Yeah. So yay. All right. How's it been, guys? It's been a lifetime. I got fridge and it was a disaster.
Oh, no.
But Shandy,
that's not how that was supposed to go.
Why don't you go first, and then I will tell my fridge story. Because don't worry, I'm telling it. I will not forget.
Okay. Well, I do have one additional question for you.
Yes.
Are you guys? Is there flooding? All I heard was flooding in North Carolina. I was like,
I'm
going to take out my map of North Carolina to figure out if you guys.
We had flooding. We did have flooding. It maybe was only an inch or so. When we left on Saturday morning, it was barely raining. We literally, like legit, we had no idea how bad it was until that night in California. Mm-hmm. Like, we had no idea how bad it was. And we texted our neighbor on Saturday night just to make sure that, you know, a tree, because Jay's sister Heather had posted pictures of like trees falling and the flooding in her neighborhood and like how bad the wind was and they had no power for like 3 days or whatever. And Jay was like, shit, my car's in the driveway because we took my car to the airport. He's like, if that fucking tree fell on my car, I'm going to be pissed. And I was like, well, text Adam, text our neighbor. So Adam said it was fine or whatever. And then the next day, Jay's sister Kayla and her fiance, they were so gracious to go all the way over to our house and go inside and check it out or whatever. And we did have flooding on the first floor. It had receded, though, so we have to replace the vanity in the bathroom downstairs because it's one of those cheap wood ones that come with the house, you know, and so it touches the ground. So that's collapsing down. So at some point, we're going to have to replace that. There's like a ring of dirt around, like, you know, the crown molding on the floor and on the floor itself where the water came in and like how high it got. So I have to clean that. And we had a large area rug on the first floor. And that was like, you know, squishy wet. So they were so kind that they took this huge, heavy, you know, what is it, 8x10, 10x12 or whatever rug all the way upstairs. Because, like, again, we have the townhouse, so the first floor is where it was. They took it upstairs, laid it on the deck upstairs, and, like, laid it out to dry. And they were so kind because they also put towels down all over the floor to soak up the rest of the water. And, like, put the fan on in the bathroom to kind of dry it out. So we did have some flood damage. I think the only, like, real casualty, other than the fact that we're going to have to try to, you know, fix whatever it is from the outside before we move eventually, is the vanity. Which, again, you can get, like, a cheap vanity from IKEA for, like, $100. So, you know, I'll take it. I'll take that being the only damage. So, unfortunately. But, again, you know, it could have been much worse. Because we really didn't think that it was going to be bad. So we didn't take the deck furniture in. We didn't take, like, we didn't do any precautions. So, like, I remember on Long Island, we had a hurricane. Was it, not Sandy. Sandy's the one from a few years ago.
It would have been Irene.
Is it Irene?
Irene was the much ado about nothing.
No, it was Hurricane Bob. That was the one that actually was a thing.
Oh, we were like kids.
Yeah, when we were in like second grade. Yeah. I remember that was the one where we put tape like in the X across the windows and did stuff to try to figure it out. Because I do remember Irene too, but like Bob is the one, I think the other one that was like the one that we prepared for. But yeah, so that picture of the mall flooding, that's the mall that's a mile from our house. So again, where the stairway's like up. Have you seen that picture?
No,
I'll find it. I'll find it and send it to you. That's why I'm like, I feel so fortunate that it could have been so much worse and it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I'll find the picture of it and you guys tell me how your weeks were. And then I'll tell you all about how awful and shitty my refrigerator delivery was.
Oh, no. Oh, Sandy, you can go first.
Well, the week was really fucking weird, but we're going to talk more about that later. My weekend, I went to a wedding. I know Amanda and I were both at weddings over the weekend. And the one that I went to was some of our very best friends here in California. So that was pretty cool. Like, we're like equally as good of friends with both of the people in the couple, which is fun. And we went to their wedding and it was at, the bride's like family home or her grandma's home or something. And it was a beautiful, beautiful home, a nice, like beautiful outside ceremony. But very like simple also. Her dress was just fucking gorgeous, but like so simple and probably, I mean, I don't know how much it cost, but it just wasn't like extravagant in the way that you sometimes see. So, I thought that was great. And then the what I really liked was, so you arrive and they had a cocktail like half hour, 45 minutes before the ceremony, which was like right next to the seating. So we arrived and everyone gets a cocktail and you like have a couple of drinks and then take your drink with you right over to wherever you want to sit to watch the ceremony. So when we were watching the ceremony, we actually all had drinks. It was
That's how you should do it. All weddings should be like that. That's so great.
And it was short and sweet. It was nice. It was my friend's father who married them. And he and his wife had also gotten married there. So it was, you know, like a beautiful setting and story and everything. And then afterwards, they had tennis courts on the property and that's where we ate, which was super cool, I thought. Oh. So the whole, all the tables were set up in these tennis courts. And so, yeah, that was a lot of fun. There was dancing. There were horses on the property too. So I got to like pet some horses, which was pretty awesome.
I'm scared of horses.
Wow. That's so great.
It was, yeah, it was beautiful. It was lovely and beautiful, but also simple at the same time and not super huge. And there weren't a ton of speeches, and the speeches that they did have were, you know, like short and sweet and, you know, funny, but not, didn't like drag on or anything. And there was a lot of dancing, and I got to see a friend who I hadn't seen for a couple of years. So that was cool. So it was a nice break, like in the middle of the weekend with all of the other craziness going on in the world, in America.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Things are weird.
Wait, did something crazy happen in America this week?
I don't know.
Not that I can recall. Because
I don't remember either.
Honestly, it's kind of par for the course. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. it's been happening for a while, but yes.
I was in a California bubble.
I was in a California bubble too, but.
Clearly not the same.
Anyway. Not the same bubble. It was a separate bubble.
Bubble with dry air and chapped lips.
Hey, could be worse. It was raining. It was raining over here. But yeah, no, I actually had a really eventful weekend, America aside. Friday night, I went to one of those ninja restaurants where there's like ninjas that serve you food and they like jump out of compartments and things and like
legit ninjas.
What? No, not like legit ninjas. It's like the Disney World version of ninjas.
But they're jumping out of things.
Yeah, they're jumping out of things. You like sit in little compartment rooms, little cubbies, and like there'll be like a sliding window that'll like slide open and like a ninja will jump out and be like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's amazing.
It really was. Wow. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was a group of friends because we were going to see a midnight screening of The Room. I also growing like if being a Rocky Horror person, I can't help but think of The Room as like stealing from Rocky Horror. Like there was like audience participation and like that whole thing. Tommy Wiseau was there, which we didn't realize he's the writer, director, brainchild. For any listeners who don't know, The Room is quote unquote the worst movie ever made. I would agree. I think it's really terrible. I don't love it in the like, it's so bad, it's good. I just think it's bad.
Not like Rocky, which is, you know, it's so bad, it's good.
Exactly. It doesn't have the redeeming music angle that Rocky has. But my boyfriend loves The Room very much. I hadn't seen him that happy in a very long time. He was in his element. So, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the next day was the wedding. So yeah, we got home really late and then had to get up and get to the other side of New York City to the wild world of Queens for a 2 o'clock church wedding. But yeah, it was nice. It was kind of a crappy day. So I sort of feel bad for the couple because it was just kind of, it wasn't quite raining, but the sun wasn't, it was just kind of like.
You know what they say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
supposed to, my wedding day was like that actually.
Yeah.
You know, almost raining and not super nice, but whatever.
Yeah, it was just like a sort of wet blanket of a day. But the wedding was beautiful and interesting. I walk into the church and my cousin's husband is a wedding photographer, and he was photographing that wedding. Unbeknownst to me, but apparently I had like suggested him. Wow. I had referred him to them. Like forever ago, like they were just, the couple is terribly organized. Like they had their whole wedding planned and have been like sitting pretty for like 2 months, like everything's ready to go. And the bride was like, yeah, no, you told us about him. So thank you very much. He's great. I was like, oh good.
Don't you love when that happens?
I know. Because I saw him. I was like, Tim, what are you doing here? I was
like, that's hilarious.
I don't know if I did this. I might have. I don't know. but yeah, it was really nice. Then the reception was at the top floor of a hotel in Queens, sort of Astoria, actually, Colleen. Ooh. So kind of like more Long Island City. The church itself was up on Ditmars. It's like that big Catholic church on Ditmars towards the park.
Yes.
So the church was there, and then the reception was at this hotel, the Apple. I can never remember. But yeah, it was really fun. But they turned that like upstairs area into a club on Saturday night. So we had like a hard out. We had to be out by 10.
Oh.
So that they could like reset it to make it a club. So they're like, wedding, get out. So that was fun. And then I went to see, on Columbus Day, because I had Columbus Day off, I went to see Girl on the Train.
Oh, how was it?
I really liked it. I have never read the book, so I can't really compare it, but my friend wanted to go, and I was like, sure. I thought it was really well acted. I usually hate in thrillers when I can kind of like figure out who did it like before the reveal, and I didn't figure out who did it, so that was really cool. And I also noticed, because I like to sit through the credits, they had a female DP for the movie. And very rarely do you see female cinematographers. So I thought that was badass.
Can you, wait, can you, because like, my brain goes somewhere else when you say that. Can you?
When you say, director DP is director of photography. So the cinematographer.
Where did your mind go?
Where does your brain go?
Nothing, nowhere.
No, I want to know. I'm so curious. We can edit it out.
Double penetration.
Ah! Oh!
I'm really the only one. Okay, let's do this. We don't have to. We don't have to edit it out. Yeah.
Anyway. Oh no! Anyway, yeah.
Listen, it's a good show. 18 minutes in, and we only starting to mention sexual innuendos. So. Yeah.
Hey, it's what John wanted, you know, sexy story. That one's for you, buddy. Yeah, so no, DP, director of photography, cinematographer, the person that is responsible for how you set up the camera and how you frame the shot.
Okay.
And there's not that very many women who do it. So I thought that's cool. Very, yeah. Very exciting, because usually that's a very male-dominated role in the film industry. Uh-huh. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then, you know, the world was weird.
Yes. Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so Carl, you have a refrigerator now, but apparently it was
okay. Okay. So they dropped off the fridge finally last Wednesday, right? After many attempts of doing it, but then not doing it. So they show up and, you know, they're super nice. They get there, they say between 8 and 10, and they get there at like 8:30. You know, okay, fine. So they go to bring the old fridge out and they're starting to carry it down the stairs. And I notice they're leaking smelly water from it because, you know, everything is starting to melt.
Yeah.
And, you know, I run into the kitchen to grab a paper towel to, like, follow them and, like, you know, clean up the leaky water. And all of a sudden I hear crash. They dropped it going down the stairs.
Oh, gosh.
Insurance for that? I mean, come on.
So.
Well, they had on their end. Yeah. On their end. There's any damage to your place?
Oh, all right, so, oh God. Okay, so there are, the way our stairs, it's a U-shaped staircase, and it kind of like overlooks the downstairs or whatever. It's kind of like loft-esque, right? So there's damage, there's holes on the two walls, like drywall is on the floor. You know, the scratches, like the black scratches, all, like scuff marks all over the place. And they damaged this like canvas painting thing that I got Jay for. Jay got me for our anniversary, like our first anniversary or something. So, there's damage already to begin with. Then they take the new one upstairs. And the guy is apparently new to the job, or they're newly formed partners or whatever. And one of them doesn't know like how to adjust the belt or something on a thing. And he, at one point they're carrying it back up and he's like, doesn't have it. And the guy is like, adjust your belt. And he's like, like breathing at me and trying to like push it up. And I was like, I'm going to watch somebody die in my house right now. So they managed to like get it up the stairs, and then they're turning the corner and it's an L-shaped staircase. They're turning the corner and they don't have it. So they make another mark in the wall. They try to hoist it up high over the balcony, over the railing. There's a hole in the ceiling. And there's scratches in the ceiling. And then, I don't know how they did this, but they managed to, the way they put the fridge down on the top step, they chipped and scratched the hardwood floor.
Are you kidding me?
I feel like the other stuff is probably easily fixable, but a pain in the ass. But the hardwood floor, and there's a chip on the stairs too, but it's not as bad as the one on the top of step. Because the one on the top of step, like, chips it so you can, like, noticeably see. So, yeah. It's
So how are they going to fix this? Like, what's
this giant pain in the ass, right? To get somebody from the claims department to set it up. And it took me a week to get them to call me back. And then they want me to get somebody to come in and get an estimate to how much it's going to cost to fix. And I just want them to be like, you know what? Refund the fridge, because we've had wages lost at this point. We've had so much like trouble with it, and they're not going to, of course, but that would be my ideal situation, because I'm an entitled American. So I have to find
You work with lawyers, so it's
they
fucked up your shit.
They fucked up my shit. It looks awful, and I refuse to clean it because I want whoever comes to take the estimate, because I didn't know if like they were going to send somebody out.
Don't clean it at all until someone comes to look at it. Yeah, but, don't touch it.
It looks awful. Like, it looks awful.
And take your own pictures right now. Did you take your
pictures? Yeah, take pictures.
Yeah, I have. The claims person called me finally on Tuesday and was like, send me pictures. I was like, I'm getting on an airplane right now. I'll send them to you in the morning. I sent him 32 pictures. I was like, in case you didn't get here.
Well, and it's like, some of that stuff is irreplaceable. Like, if Jay got you this gift and it scratched the gift, like, that's irreplaceable. Yeah. Like, that's a sentimental family thing. And they like fucked it up. That's terrible.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. But yeah, there's still drywall on the floor and all that. And it's just going to be a headache. Like, it's not a nightmare. It's not like, you know, the end of the world. Cause I could probably maybe magic erase the black scuffs down enough. Like, it's going to have to be repainted for sure. But I could probably I shouldn't have to.
You shouldn't have to deal with that. Like, and like the guys who were like carrying the fridge, like, that sucks. I mean, I feel kind of bad for them. Like, it's really heavy, and that's maybe not an easy job. And like, shit gets fucked up. But like, then it's time for the company to come in and be like, okay, we will. You know, this happens, so obviously, here's some money. fix it and people to fix it.
But at the same point, like, if this is their job, you would think that like the new guy would have had enough training to like know how his tools should work. Like, to know how to adjust the belt. Like, he shouldn't have been put in that position.
Oh, for sure.
He didn't know what he was doing. Like, it is on the company.
That does really suck, because then he probably feels really bad, and it might not even be completely his fault, and that just sucks.
Yeah, no, that sucks all around. But it works? Do you at least like how it looks now that it's in your kitchen?
Yeah, it looks really nice. It matches the rest of the appliances.
And it keeps things cold.
And it keeps things cold. and or frozen, depending on what you need to do.
Exactly. Well, that's good.
Cool. Good times. All right, so let's get to another interesting subject, which... I don't know. Do we have another new subject? I went to California. It was fun.
How was your trip to California?
You were visiting family?
We were visiting Jay's family. I had in and out a lot, and that was fun. We watched the debates in two different rooms, which was also fun. And one of the feeds was behind. I think Fox News was ahead of MSNBC or CNN or whatever it was on. So if I missed something in the one room, I just ran into the next room to try to catch it.
Oh, I record that shit, man. We like stop it so many times and rewind and like, what the fuck? And then like, you have to tweet like, oh my God.
That's what Jay-Z and Cindy did. So.
Sorry, I'm refilling my.
Oh, no, glass. Please, by all means.
That's a power pour. Yes.
Woohoo! I would mute my mic while I did it, but we learned a couple episodes ago that for some reason when I mute my mic, it doesn't actually mute anything. So. Anyway, it's a big pour, so I hopefully won't have to do it again. sometime soon.
Good times. It was a great time. So Jay's Aunt Cindy is a huge Hillary supporter, and she gave me these awesome stickers that I'm going to send two of them to you. And it's Trump's face, but it's in the Ghostbusters. Like, you know, he's kind of looks like Slimer.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I'm going to mail them to you. And I believe that there's two more. And maybe I should have confirmed this beforehand. But I think that there's two more. And I think that we should do a giveaway in the spirit of hashtag I'm with hers. But we're not getting political. We're not endorsing one candidate over the other. We're just... We're not endorsing one candidate over the other. We're just happening to have a Rape Busters sticker.
We like Ghostbusters.
We
talked about it on
Ghostbusters. Yeah. Exactly. So it's just continuing on with that theme.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you want, I will post a picture there in the Facebook groups. I'll post it in the patrons group and the I'll post it in the patrons group and the regular Jay and Jack Facebook group so you guys can see it. And then the first person to email us will get one. And I'm not taking it over Twitter. I'm not taking it over Facebook. It's got to be email only. And that's thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. So the first two people, lucky people to email us, we'll get these two bumper stickers. So anyways, good times. Thank you, Aunt Cindy, for our first giveaway materials. And so good times. But California was fun. Jay's, you know, family is a blast. We had a great time. We went to the Rose Bowl Flea Market, which was amazing. I got three pairs of earrings for $5.
And awesome. It
was my very first time ever bargaining with somebody. They were $2 a piece. And I was like, will you take five for the three pairs?
Nice.
And I was all nervous, like he wasn't going to do it.
Well, and he was like, yeah. And you're like, score?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay, great. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
And then I came home and I soaked them in alcohol. So I finally wore the first pair today. But I don't know, it was a great time. It was a really great time. So it was good to see Jay's family on all sides. Just like it's great to see my family. Although Aunt Cindy, actually, and this is going to get kind of embarrassing, she was telling me that, she's almost caught up on the broadcast. She's one episode behind. And of course, we all know we had our sex stories last time. So I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I hope that you don't listen to this, you know, while I'm here, because that could get kind of embarrassing.
I don't think I could look you in the eye.
That can get kind of embarrassing. So anyways, that's a good segue to something. In and out debates. Thank you, patrons group. There we go. That's where I was going.
Yay!
We are part of the JJ network. We have Patreon. They have Patreon. We all do collectively. And if you would consider supporting us each month, you can go on to patreon.com/jayandjack. On jayandjack.com, there's also a link on the top right hand corner of the website that you can consider just helping out. Keeps the lights on, pays for like the hosting, for Amanda's disgusting gin habit, you know, stuff like that. It bought Boston a squatty potty once.
My microphone.
Your microphone.
Paid for my microphone. I buy my own gin. I'm a lady.
Oh, man. I was going to say Patreon's like your boyfriend. Bought you a drink before dinner. But
I wish.
That's how we're seducing you to stay on the broadcast is by...
Just loading me up with gin.
Or at the very least, therapist money. So
yeah. Oh, dude.
If you want to help really contribute expensive. To Amanda's therapy funds, please... email us, go to patreon.com/group/jayandjackgroups. If you donate at the $5 or more level, there's a Facebook page and it's super fun. We have a good time in there. There's an exclusive show. We talked about this last week, but if you are interested in doing that, we had a Married Man broadcast crossover last week, so that was super fun. Once a month you get to vote on the Patrons Toy Show, and that was that. And if we get to the $1,000 a month level for supporting, then we might do a live one that everybody can come and play. So, you know, open up your pocketbooks right before the holidays, because I know that's exactly what you want to do. All right, this plug has gone on for way too long. Somebody else.
Can I add an asterisk or yes. an addendum or something? I actually made a purchase with Patreon money.
Oh, what'd you get?
What'd you get?
Just the other day, and this is maybe a segue into what we'll be talking about very soon. I'm sure most of you have seen the photo like circulating on the internet. November 8th, Pussy Grabs Back, and there is a T-shirt. And I
have
bought
not
it.
Seen this.
I will send you a link.
Please
and...
do.
And I'm so excited to receive it and wear it on November 8th when I go vote.
I wonder if I could get away with wearing that at work. Probably not.
I cannot. But after at 5 p.m. I will put the
maybe I'll. Could like wear it under something and then just, you know, flash
oh
it.
Oh my God. I love that idea. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely too political for work. And also I certainly can't like go to work with a shirt that says pussy, but afterwards. Yeah. No, I like that. That's kind of fun. It's like wearing like really fun underwear. It's like,
yeah,
you're in on this secret that nobody else knows. Something's going on underneath there. And yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Maybe I'll wear good. It with like a something over it. That's great.
Did you see the thing on the internet going around that just says "grab him by the ballot"?
Oh, yes, brilliant!
Good times. Yep. All right, I feel like we're at that point where we cannot avoid the elephant in the room. So I'm just going to again say thank you, patrons. Thank you, Aunt Cindy. Thank you. I don't know. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. All right.
Amen.
And thank you, vodka, because you are superior to gin.
Oh,
actually, oh, but yeah, you know what's, was you know what's better than them all? Champagne.
We gotta do our champagne brunch.
Yes, it's rosé champagne.
Oh, I love rosé champagne. It's very like what is it? An affair to remember. The top of the Empire State Building. Okay, no, I'm the only grandma here. Okay, fine. An Affair to Remember.
Okay,
it's a classic movie, and they have like pink champagne, and it's a thing. And anyway,
I've seen it. It's on TV a lot.
I'd have no idea. Maybe on Link Turner. Okay. I'm an old soul, guys, with my gin and my rosé.
I'll admit, my favorite old movie is Casablanca. So you're an old soul, and I'm a stereotype. So,
yeah. Well, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I'll have to put that on a list. But anyway, the elephant in the room, and that is hashtag I've met Trump. But before we do that, before we get to our generation's second Bill Cosby.
This year's second Bill Cosby.
Yes. Who could become the president of the United States of America.
He won't, though. He won't.
The country formerly known as the United States of America.
Right.
No, he won't.
The artist formerly known as. Yeah.
So we've got some feedback that pertains to this. John says, "Dear ladies, love the show. Just wondering how many of you experience someone like Trump in your lives. As a husband and father, I find him completely disgusting and don't know how anyone could ever vote for him with a clear conscience. I have never heard anyone like this. I'm sorry. I have never heard anyone talk like this. Whoa, did I just sound like I hit puberty?"
No.
I don't think it, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Okay. Sorry. In my, because my ears have not unpopped still from.
Oh, no.
It's awful.
It's no fun.
I've never heard anyone talk like this in any locker room I've ever been in work or school. Guys will talk about women, but what Trump is describing is a sexual assault. Take care, broads. John, a.k.a. John the UPS guy. And John, we're going to follow up your email with a phone call, and we're going to answer both of them at the same time. So, human beings who are disgusted with sexual assault, take heed.
Hello, Amanda, Colleen, and Sandy. My name is Sally. I am one of your listeners based in California. I'm calling because I saw as I was listening to one of the last few episodes, I was thinking about a topic that came up, and that is the idea of, or the notion of, oversharing, or TMI, in today's culture and kind of shaming around that. Obviously, that in certain environments, it's not appropriate to share, like, you know, at work or whatever. We don't share certain things about our personal lives. However, with among friends, it's generally seen, I think, the type of friends I want to have around, that it's okay to share personal things. However, I do think that there's a culture of shaming oversharers, or even one's own self will feel ashamed for oversharing. Like, oh, sorry if that's too MI, or I had word vomit, or I shared too much. So anyhow.
So, yes, thank you for your call. That was actually one of my friends, and I talked to her. She wasn't sure at the end if she, like, should say that she was friends with me or not. So that's why it cut off. But anyway, I was like, oh yeah, we can totally say that we're friends if she's comfortable with that. So yeah. Hi girl.
Oh, hey girl. Hey.
Oh, hey.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. So, okay. So we had the question of TMI and then the question of Trump. And I think that these two topics obviously go together very much in just like everything that happened this weekend. So I don't know who wants to start.
All right. So,
okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's incredible to me, reading via social media, all of the people. I mean, I knew from other hashtags or whatever and other things that sexual assault and just not even sexual assault, just unwanted advances that have no, I'm not talking about like a guy hitting on a girl at a bar and then, you know, she rejects him because, you know, one would argue that, like, you know, making a move on somebody before they say no, just, you know, starting, that's kind of, you know, social, whatever. You know, you go up and be like, hey, baby, like, you know, I can't think of one off the top of my head. Been here long, like, I don't know, something like that, like, whatever. There's a difference between getting that and then getting straight up shut down and being fucking creepy about it. And then we have that whole other level where you're like, you know something? I think I'm hot shit and I'm going to just fucking grab your genitalia anyway. And, you know, because I'm hot shit. And what are you going to do? Say no? That's a problem. And I will say from a personal level, I grew up in a Republican household and I remember watching Bill Clinton's apology. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. On TV with family that was like, that's disgusting, that's wrong, that's immoral, that's, you know, that person should be not be present anymore. And the outrage. And then we have the same group of people, the Rush Limbaugh listeners of the world, who sit there and go, that's just locker room talk. And I'm like, except he actually did it. So you can say locker room talk all you want, but we have people coming forward, and also he's admitted that that's actually what he does. So it's not like, I'd like to grab them by the pussy. That's locker room talk. Just grab them by the pussy because you can. That's not locker room talk. Also, getting back to the hashtag, I've met Trump. I would be willing to bet that every single, that's 100% of the female listeners of this podcast have met Trump.
Yes. And I think that's what, when you started out saying, like, talking about, oh, not like, not necessarily sexual assault, but like sexual advances. And then like, what does sexual advances mean? I think we're still grappling as a culture to say that, like, actually, like, sexual assault is not just rape. Sexual assault is what he was talking about. So yes, and that's exactly what this has highlighted. Yes, all women have met Trump. Like, literally, I know, and I knew this to be true before this last weekend. I knew it to be true that I know more women in my life who have experienced sexual trauma whether it be like rape or being molested in some, in, you know, whatever, being molested. Okay. I know more women who have experienced that than I do women who have not. And what this last weekend brought out with the hashtags and the sharing on Facebook and the oversharing on the internet and TMI and all, you know, this question is that it's not even that more that I know more women who have experienced this than who have not. It's that all women I know essentially have, and there are some, and like what really, I don't know, this weekend was really hard. Like on Friday, when the story broke, like I went home and I could not take myself off of Twitter. Like that's all I was watching. And what really got me was the Kelly Oxford. I don't know if you guys saw, but she tweeted, "Women, tweet me your first assaults. They aren't just stats. I'll go first. Old man on city bus grabs my quote unquote pussy and smiles at me. I'm 12. And just like reading all of the responses to that, it is fucking heartbreaking. And so that's how the weekend started on Friday. And then we come to the debate. And then there's still like this idea of locker room talk. Like, are you fucking kidding me? This is what, I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to actually like coherently talk about this because it's so upsetting. But like, this particular person has been so offensive for so long, and some people were upset about it. Like, you know, people were upset when he called Mexicans rapist. Some people weren't. You know, some people were upset when he said we should ban all Muslims from the country. Some people weren't. And I think like what's interesting about what the latest thing that's happened is, I mean, you can definitely like look at this through the lens of what does it mean to be like in these different and various minorities. It's like the right didn't get upset until it concerned them as well, which again, I don't know how political you guys want to get, but whatever, like this is my opinion and this is what I am seeing. And because women do span both.
I'm just going to interject here and say, I don't think talking about sexual assault is political. That's an actual fucking thing that happens.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
It's
but I'm
not
saying
like
that
we're sitting here and being like, okay, so I think that national debt and the defense fund should be financed this way, or I think that Social Security is blah blah blah. We're not doing that. We're like straight up talking about something that actually happens to women. And I'm very sorry if you feel that sexual assault has come down to party lines, when half of the country made it about party lines back in like 1995.
Yeah, and that's,
don't be a hypocrite.
But I think that's also part of why this is so infuriating, is that, you know, and Shandy, you were kind of getting at this, that it wasn't until it was something that affected like white women and like, you know, then they sort of were taking it and politicizing it. Like, sexual assault should not be a political issue. It should offend everybody.
Yes.
And so, the fact that it's sort of being used. Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry. In the same way that saying that Mexicans are rapists should offend everyone, right?
It should. It should, but it doesn't.
You don't have to be Latino or Latina or Mexican or whatever to be offended by that, and you shouldn't. But I feel like his particular political party was making excuses for that, where now it's like, oh, they finally can no longer make excuses. And the outrage that they're feeling like also is a little bit off the mark. Like, that's great that you have women in your lives and, you know, wives and daughters and whatever, but actually women are just people. And so
everyone knows a woman. If you breathe air, you know a woman. That doesn't hold water with me. That, like,
right.
You're but a human being.
All of this is fucking coded. Like, all of it, because the thing is that I think deep down in their hearts, I mean, we're talking about the same people that try to legislate a woman's body. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is they need to be the protectors. It's paternalistic. It's so, oh, because I have a daughter, I need to protect them from this kind of thing. Like, okay, let's like take a step back and look at this a little bit more as like a human rights issue. But Which again, like, brings us back to our discussion on feminism. Like, anyone who thinks that feminism doesn't need to exist, or that we're in some sort of like post-feminist world, like, Donald Trump. That's all we have to say. But anyway, so there is, I don't know if anyone's been reading like the Kelly Oxford thing, but I will say, like, to come to Sally's question of TMI, like, when I read the Kelly Oxford tweet, like, I tweeted back at her and I left it up for like almost a day. And then I did have this moment of like, is this TMI? Is this something I want in the Twitterverse for like the rest of forever? And I eventually took it down. And so that was Friday. And then we went through the weekend and it was like emotional, but whatever, like getting distracted by a wedding. Yay. Fun people. Okay. And then we come back and then there's the fucking debate. And the debate, I don't know about you, but it was fucking traumatic for me. Like, have the question, it was John's question, right? Yes, John's question. Have you experienced someone like Trump in your lives? Like, yes, so many times, yes. Obviously, like, multiple people come to mind, but the person that comes to my mind the most is the stepfather that I grew up with, who is no longer in my life. But yes, I grew up with Donald Trump. So yes, like, watching the debate was, I was literally shaking during the debate. And I, like, after the debate the next day, and I was like trying to process what I had just gone through, I was like, holy shit, this was exactly like listening to, like, overhearing a fight between my mother and this fucking asshole growing up as a child. That's what it was. It was my mother, who is a super intelligent woman, just as Hillary Clinton, like, love her or hate her, you cannot deny that she is smart, informed, does her homework, mm-hmm. and have to be put sort of at the same level of this fucking dumbass who projects everything, who
doesn't believe in fact.
That will doesn't believe in fact.
Blatantly, yes. When is told, no, that's wrong, he doubles down. It's like, no, you're wrong. Right. Like, I know you lie, but what am I?
And it's fucking infuriating, because what can you do with a person like that? It is, and he, like, I mean, I think we all saw how his physical posturing was meant to be intimidating, and like all of those things. Yeah. Like, yes, it was.
But
it
even
was,
that, he denies that too. The whole, like, oh, wander, yeah. You know, he's like, oh, why was she? She just walked across the stage. She was in my space. It's like, well, yes, no, not even a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. And it doesn't matter, because you can bring all the reasoned arguments you want, but people like that, like, they are sick and they are a product of like this really toxic masculinity in our culture. And what can you do? You can't do anything. I mean, you can make sure they don't get elected to be fucking president of the United States, but what else can you do? So yeah, it was very traumatic. And then I get online and there's, you know, like, even then I'm on Facebook and the I have met Trump thing is like really starting to trend. And like, I'm noticing, like, on my wall, a bunch of my friends posting things. And that's like kind of when I lost it, was because there are people that I know, like, good, like, one of my best friends posted something about her story about having met Trump. And I didn't even know that happened. Like, we were friends when it happened and I didn't even know it. Like, I had, you know, she'd never talked to me about it. Like, she'd never, we were like best friends in college. We lived together. And that's what pushed me over the edge, because, like, why did she feel at the time that she couldn't, because we don't talk about it. And this is what really gets me about this whole like weekend and this whole week, is that I think there is obviously this culture of shame. Like, rape culture is real. Like, fuck you if you don't believe that. And the reason that we don't talk about it is because we feel ashamed, or we feel like we don't want to explode certain family dynamics or whatever. Because, you know, a lot of times people are traumatized by people in their family or people they know or whatever. So there are all these reasons that people just keep quiet about it. And so when this came out and people started talking about it en masse, it's like, yes, like, on an intellectual level, I knew this already, but to see it, to physically see it and to see people's stories and people that I didn't even know had stories, to see them come out, it was like overwhelming, essentially. And that's where I think that TMI on the internet, yeah, like, no, there's no TMI on the internet. Like, this is powerful. This is our power is seeing just the magnitude of this. And this also gets back to like what makes me so angry about this is that we talk about this like it's a woman's issue. And it's like fuck you. You know what? This is actually a men's issue because yes, women can be the victimizers and that does happen, but overwhelmingly it's men. And overwhelmingly, women are victims. Yes, men are victims also. And I don't think that they really have a space to talk about it. So we need to acknowledge that. And I know men who have been victimized in their lives. And I think that's, you know, like a whole other conversation to have. But no, this is not like I hate how it gets turned around into this thing that like women just have to bear and women just have to keep to themselves. Like, no, this is a men's issue because men are the fucking perpetrators. And yes, I understand that it's not all men, but again, like to adopt hashtags from days past, like, yes, all women have to fucking deal with this. And I will
women have take to deal with a lot, now. Actually. Women deal with a lot because men think that because they have whatever, they think that they can call the shots. They think that they can touch you when you don't want it because they want to. They think that they can literally do anything that they want because you're the little woman and you're the one that's going to put up with it because you either need them because society, you know, pays them more money so you have to stay with them or gives them more power. Society makes them president of the United States when they won't make you president of the United States. So it's an interesting time to be a woman because women are finally waking the fuck up to the fact that what's the new hashtag on Twitter? What is it, like repeal the 19th or something? Where they
Oh my god!
Yeah, yes. No.
So women shouldn't have the right to fucking vote because some guy says that they shouldn't because they're not going to vote for a fucking sexist pig out there. Like, is that real life? Is that real life?
I think because what that whole like repeal 19 that started in the past day or so, right?
Yes, when they put out those maps of what would happen if women decided not to vote for Trump. Yeah. And you know what? We are fucking powerful and we are more than half of the population and that is our power. And so fuck you. And yes, I think that women, I mean, like you said, Colleen, women are waking up. I think women have always been awake and I think that women have been working hard and doing the hard work for years and decades and centuries. And I do think though that we are at a time where culturally people are willing to finally recognize that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And no, at the same time,
we're being tested in a way.
So it's not so much that women are waking up, it's that society is waking up.
Society is women have always been there like, what the fuck, right?
Also, I'm about to eat one of the olive soaked vodka shit. So it might get bad. It might get ugly.
That's okay.
That's all right.
That's quite all right.
Just one.
But just the one.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I just killed the conversation by eating an olive very sexually on camera.
No, no, no. But I will say, like, and this is what I would really like for our male listeners to hear and understand. Because I like, if you're listening to the broadcast, you're probably a male ally. I'm guessing, like, you wouldn't probably put up with what we say if you were one of the like repeal the 19thers, right? But still, I think that it's deeper than men really know and understand. It's again, when I say that all women have experienced this. When I finally came around to posting something on Facebook, I had to edit it hours later to add something that I hadn't thought about because that's just the reality of it. There's like, there are terrible things that I can't talk about. There are medium things that I feel comfortable talking about. There are lighter things that are even easier to talk about and that probably got forgotten in the fray. Like that is every woman's reality. And so I think that it's really important to see that and to take a moment and be like, holy fucking shit. Yes, this is what we all deal with on a daily basis. This goes back to when we were talking about the earbuds conversation. This is mm-hmm. why, like, that is a defense mechanism so that women do not have to talk to people that they don't want to talk about. This is like when I live in a very safe neighborhood and I live about 3 blocks away from downtown. And sometimes when I go out at night, sometimes I will come home before my husband, for example. So I will be a lone woman walking home, okay, yeah, in a super safe neighborhood for 3 blocks. Like, do you have any idea how fucking aware I am of my surroundings, how I look at everyone, how I'm sussing out, yeah, oh, I see a silhouette in front of me. Is that a man or is that a woman? Okay, it's a man. Am I going to cross the street? Am I not going to cross the street? Is he bigger than me? Is he smaller than me? Do, like, can I get on my phone? Like these are the things that we think about constantly, and it is exhausting, and this is not the world that we should live in. And to have somebody just so blazingly exemplify all of these bad behaviors and then to brush it off, like, that is why everyone is so angry. And so fuck you for being angry because you have a mother. No, you should be angry because half of the population should not have to put up with this shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think honestly, for me, the thing I find more infuriating is the dismissal of it. And I think I, you know, we've sort of talked about it at length at this point, but the fact that you can brush it off as simply as, oh no, it's, you know, this is just what dudes talk about. And, you know, Trump's not the only one that's using that locker room line. I don't know if you guys saw, but Scott Baio did an interview on Fox News. Yeah, he was basically just sort of like, everyone needs to just suck it up, because this if you haven't heard something like this before, then you're lucky and you should just deal with it because it's not that bad. Like, pull your panties up and stop being such a prude. And it's like,
all right, listen.
Sorry.
It's not like, and that's just it. Like, I am literally the opposite of a prude. Like, I am a sex positive feminist. Like, that, it's just like not even in the same realm.
But yeah, but
I do not assault people. Like, consent is important. Everything should be like, no. So no, this is not locker room banter. This is not what people talk about in the locker rooms. If they do, then they are fucking part of the problem. Like, and again, maybe a lot of people do, because like, really, what we've seen is that we are living in a culture of, it, like, we are living in rape culture. When people talk about rape culture, and I feel like this has been talked about a bit over the last few years, and there's been a lot of blowback. But, like,
just trying to bring some levity, that's all. Not being immature.
Well, both are fine, I think. This is a reality. And I will say, like, so when I finally did post something on Facebook, because I was just so fucking disgusted, it was like, to get back to Sally's original question, like, is there TMI on the internet? Like, I will say, like, something like that, like putting yourself out there like that does kind of feel like TMI. But the response that I got was so beautiful. But like, let's analyze who responded. I didn't actually count. I wanted to count at some point. A lot of people liked my post. I would say 90% were women. The fuck is that? 90%. I don't think that I have 90% female friends on Facebook. So why is it that 90% of the people that like my posts were women? Okay. Well, and whenever I post.
I have a thought on that, perhaps. And I think sometimes, and I think we've touched on it already a little bit, but like, we don't necessarily give male supporters enough credit. And perhaps I think there might be some men that want to support, but they don't know how.
Yeah, well,
like,
I say,
how do I show my support without being offensive? And I mean, part of it is just sort of like being human. Like, I get the whole, and to go back to the TMI, like, I think it's kind of to each person can choose what they feel is TMI. Like, I think that movement is great. I think it is great that people feel like they want to share.
Oh, I personally don't
want to. Like, I've had a lot of shit that's happened to me, and I don't even talk about it with people I'm close to. So I don't want to share it on the internet. And it's not that I don't support the cause. It's that that's just not
that how, actually
that doesn't work for me.
So I actually,
and that's okay.
I actually had this discussion yesterday with Jake. I was like, okay, we're gonna talk about the I've met Trump thing, because, and he read your thing, Shandy, and it's happened to me several times, but the thing that has been the most outstanding thing to me was a friend of mine's father. And I've never, ever told anybody. And I told Jay yesterday. I told Jay, and I guess at the point that this is coming out a couple of days ago, but like, and he was like, why? I've met this person. Like, why didn't you ever tell me this? And I was like, because, like, you know, I don't have contact with them anymore. Like, I was, you know, 13, 14, 15, whatever it was. And, you know, it was creepy and it was weird. And at the time I was like, this is not great. I don't like this. And, you know, I was very uncomfortable, and it happened 2 years in a row. at two separate times. And, you know, I Jay has met the person in question whose father it was, and he was like, "Why didn't you tell me this?" And again, I was like, I don't know. I never felt comfortable with it. Like, I didn't want to tell my parents because they thought that this person's parents were like the greatest thing ever. At the other people, you know, I didn't want other people that like knew them to like say anything. And like, I don't think even now, like, I'm like, I don't, you know, want this person to like, I don't know. It's just weird. It's just a weird thing that women face where men have no problem standing up for themselves and nipping in the buds. But like, we as women are like, oh, I don't know. No. I don't want this person to like have a, I don't want this person to go to jail or to go to have a problem or like anything that's why all these things, including all the Trump supporters that are coming out of the woodwork, and I'm sure there's many other famous people who have taken advantage of women. That's why they don't come forward. It's because they're like, oh, you know, they're not like super bad guy. They're a family person. Like, it can't be that bad. And
no, but Colleen, I would argue that it's not just that men are more direct or whatever. I think that, like, I know a handful of men who were victimized when they were young kids. They acted like women acted. Like, we all, I think this is the victimized response, is that you don't talk about it. And and some people do, and that's amazing. But you don't talk about. I know I didn't talk about it for a long time. And there are people like that I'm close with that still don't know. You know, like people that I've known for almost my entire life, right?
And we don't talk about. But that's it. That's when I think it's hard to share on social media if you don't feel comfortable enough talking about it with someone that you have a personal in real life relationship with.
Right.
I think which is
why I didn't share certain things online, but. Yeah. But then to come back to the response that I got was so validating, like, unfortunately, you know what I mean? Like to get back to Sally's question about TMI, oversharing on the internet, is it shameful? Like, is there, and I would say, like, I did, you know, like, I don't usually post like super personal things. Sometimes I post my opinions, but mostly not. And yeah, it's kind of weird to like put yourself out there like that. And I'm not saying that everyone has to do it, but I am saying that there was a power in seeing the stories, and there was a power in the response. And the response was like, I had long conversations with a former roommate, my mother, my former high school Spanish teacher. Oh. Like, it was very across the board. And that was something that made me feel like, unfortunately, united with all women, because unfortunately this is a universal experience and it should not be. But it is powerful to see that, because I think, like, again, just coming back to like what I was saying at the very beginning of this conversation, is that this is something that I, like, on an intellectual level knew happened all the time.
Right.
But to see it like physically represented in, like, to visually represent it in these stories with these hashtags and people that you know, it is, and people that you don't know, like, it is, it's horrific. And so I would just say, like, to any of the listeners, if you haven't already, I would say go on Twitter and look up Kelly Oxford, which is at Kelly Oxford. Look at her tweet, which is "Women, treat me your first sexual assaults." And look also on Facebook and look at the hashtag "I have met Trump," and just like spend a half an hour reading these stories, and you will realize, if you hadn't before, that this is like an endemic problem in our society, and this is insane. And so obviously we need to stop this, and we need to reverse rape culture and like address it. And electing Donald Trump to be the president of the United States is not how that's going to happen. So, not that we're endorsing anyone, but go out and vote. And if you vote third party, then you're contributing to Donald Trump. So, just saying.
You do not have to. But I think, yeah, I think to your point, the message in terms of the direction our country is going is pretty clear to either side. And sort of where you choose to lay your vote you're sort of, you are contributing to the country going in one direction or another. And they're distinctly and clearly, it is the North Pole and the South Pole.
Yes. So, and if you're having a hard time with that question, like, just remind yourself, like, just like look up Hillary Clinton's resume. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You'll see
the,
what
The real version, not the Trump version.
Right.
Because Trump
there is a conversation to be had, but let's not demonize the woman who stayed with her man.
Let's move off from the political. We're starting to veer.
Although I'd want to sort of dovetail quickly on voting, because my brother posted an article from Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs about voting, and it really sort of changed my thought. Because, you know, you hear this, like, you know, vote, it's your duty to go out and vote. And here, let me see if I have his article pulled up. And he was basically just sort of arguing the opposite, that in fact, he's like, I'm not going to tell people to go out and vote because it's not your duty. It is your right. So in short,
which is interesting because in certain places in the world, I believe in Australia, you are actually compelled to vote. You must vote.
So it says, in short, he likens the right to vote to the right to bear arms and proceeds to question whether we should feel obligated to cast a ballot at all. And let me see, because essentially he just sort of says that, like, oh, here, see, however, I'm afraid I can't encourage millions of people whom I've never met to just run out and cast a ballot simply because they have the right to vote. That would be like encouraging everyone to buy an AR-15 simply because they have the right to bear arms. I would need to know a few things about them before offering that kind of encouragement. For instance, do they know how to care for a weapon? Can they afford the cost of a weapon? Do they have a history of violence? Are they mentally stable? In short, are they responsible citizens? So he sort of goes on to say that, like, casting a ballot, you know, it is your right, but you should respect that right and acknowledge it by actually doing your homework and researching it and casting your vote because you have researched the two candidates and you are voting for the person that agrees with you and or that you agree with their platform.
Yeah.
So go out and vote, but one step further.
Yeah.
Do your friggin' homework. Yourself. Yeah. Do your friggin' homework. It is not your duty. It is your right. And honor that right and go into it with a little bit of smarts.
Go into it with a little bit of smarts, definitely. And maybe keep in mind Australia, where you have to vote. Like, what does that mean? I kind of like it. I kind of could see the opposite argument, but it's interesting. It's interesting to think, like, this is a right that we, like, quote unquote, fight for, that people quote unquote die for, which, like, let's be real, our current military is not literally fighting for our right to vote. Okay, whatever. But it's definitely something that sets us apart from some of the world. Mm-hmm. And America would like to think that it sets us apart from the rest of the world, but that's not true. But yeah, I would say get informed and go out and do what you can do.
All right. So before we end this, this was a question in the, I know I'm eating Fritos.
No, I love that it was so important to speak that you took it out of your mouth. That was more what I was laughing at. Not that you, it was more that you were so compelled to verbalize what was in your head that you didn't chew. You just took it out like it was a retainer to be returned at a later date. Anyway,
I'm actually still holding it like it's a retainer, the Frito.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I'm trying to get at my chocolate.
This was a question, and I will pose this. This was a question in the political overflow group for Jay and Jack that Jack posted, and it actually made me think. Knowing, like, given, and I talked about this a little while ago, but just given the whole, all the accusations against Trump coming out, and knowing mm-hmm. that Bill Clinton also, you know, allegedly had similar accusations happen to him. If Bill Clinton was running against, you know, if this was the election like Bill Clinton won against George Bush, HGW or whatever, like, would you be able to vote for him? Like, if all these things came out now, if it was present day, like present day social media, economy, everything was the exact same, only it was Clinton instead of Trump, would that change your vote?
So like if he, when he was running in like 92.
Yeah. Just all of the sexual assault accusations against him. Like not even Monica Lewinsky, but you know, you can even.
Well, but I mean,
Monica Lewinsky is a totally different story.
But he had a few before of these that, sort of he, scandals you know, Jones, plaguing him while, while
Jennifer
he was running.
Flowers, all the people that sat there at the Trump debate, you know.
I mean, you pose like an interesting question,
I mean, fuck
though.
That. Because fuck Trump for using women's stories not to elevate the woman or to bring light to what may or may not have happened, but to help his own political gain. Fuck that. I mean, that's just in line with what he does. So,
well, but anyway. That wasn't the question. I think the question itself is really interesting because in this age of social media that, yeah, we're hit with these controversies a little harder and a little more pervasively than we were in the 90s, where it was just sort of like, you know, the Jennifer Flowers thing would like pop up on the evening news. And so, yeah, it wasn't constantly hitting your feed, your eyeballs 24/7. But I think also to that point, Clinton's, you know, George Bush Sr. is a pretty stand-up guy. And like, he's, you know, it's like they were a little more evenly matched in terms of being leaders, you know? So it's like Trump is just, I feel like it's a different situation. It's a different situation that you're sort of dealing with two actual candidates that could do the job. Like, do you share, you don't share maybe all their policies on how they would do the job, but you aren't, there's no doubt that Clinton and Bush could do the job successfully. And both of them to some degree did do the job successfully. So I think it's an interesting question, but yeah, I think it's not the same situation at all. It's
right. Whereas electing Trump would be like nuclear warfare. Like this is like, exactly. These are not the same. It's not the same metric that we're judging people by.
Yeah. And it's one more thing on top of a bunch of other scandals.
Exactly.
Like Clinton, that was his scandal. That was his scandal that he's a bit of a cad.
Yes. And
a bit of a cad, he is a cad.
And I will say, honestly, like I was maybe a little bit too young, a little bit too like uninformed to follow all of the controversies that followed him. Like, obviously I remember Lewinsky, but that was a consensual affair between two adults.
And that's a very good point bring up though. That was
so that's very different. I mean, obviously like, he was still in a position of power. Yes, there's a conversation to be had about that, but at the same time, it was two consenting adults. So that is like certainly different. Everything else, like honestly, I would have to go and like look it up. And that is an important and maybe pertinent conversation to be had. But at the same time, Bill Clinton is not running for president.
Hey, so, man, stop bringing him up. He's not running.
Like his wife, like let's look at Hillary, who is actually running for president. Let's look at what she's about. Let's look at her value.
I would wager to say that she's night and day. Probably not about grabbing women by the pussy. Even if she likes them, as people like to say.
Oh, because that's an insult with fucking Republicans, yep. Is that you're gay. Well, sorry. I also like to, I don't like to grab one by the pussy. I just like to, only if they really want to. Like, I will gently.
Only if they want the tea.
I will gently caress your pussy if you're into me and I'm into you and we're all good. But, like, fuck you for that being an insult. You know what I mean? Like, that's a whole other question.
So, we have, speaking of all our questions, we have more feedback. Actually, let's get to the Facebook feedback.
Okay.
So that was a thing like an hour ago. Mike says, the boss creeping on the subordinate's Facebook and judging her boyfriend seems creepy to me.
Yes, amen.
That is true.
I'm glad we're not alone on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so Vicky says, Colleen, and I actually think this could be directed at Amanda as well. I'm in the same boat as you. I've been reading less, and it seriously has me bummed. I feel like my reading time has gone into internet time as well. But also, because I've been busier lately, and I don't know if maybe a little of some other stuff as well. I want to read my book, but I just can't seem to find the time. I've been on the same book for at least a month, and I have no clue as to when I'm going to finish it. So Yeah. What do you guys, what, okay. The book that you're currently reading, how long have you been reading it?
2 days. I just started the last Robert Galbraith, AKA our girl, JK Rowling's, the third book in the Cormoran Strike series.
How are you liking that so far?
Well, I'm 2 days in, so I'm a chapter in.
No, but so in the, wait.
Oh, the first series? Two books, the first two books I loved, and I
have not read them yet, so
I can't decide I can't decide if I love that she's kept with the pen name, even though like the cat's out of the bag, like we
why
know
not
it's,
at this point, just go for
but,
it.
But like I kind of like it, but I am a little bummed out that like she felt like she had to write under a male pen name.
Yep. But honestly, just like J.K. Rowling is like gender neutral. It's like,
yeah. But I kind of also get, because it's like originally she did it because she just kind of wanted to break free, and she kind of wanted an editor to edit her non-biasly. Like, because when you're J.K. Rowling, like an editor is going to look at your work differently and they're going to edit you differently. Sure. So I think that's originally why she wrote it that way, just so she had more freedom in her writing and could be critiqued differently. Mm-hmm. And I love how that has sort of freed her up. I think the series is definitely different from her other writing, but equally good. So yeah, I very much recommend it.
Nice. And Colleen, how long, the book that you're currently reading, how long have you been reading it?
Oh my God, like 6 months.
Okay. So Vicky, don't even feel bad. 6 months. It's totally fine. And I will say I've been reading a couple of different things. I have read when I was on vacation, I bought a signed copy of Brave Enough by Cheryl Strayed, who I've talked about a couple of times on the podcast. I fucking love her. She's amazing. And it's just a book of quotes, which is amazing. And it's like so apropos to like our episode a couple of weeks or months ago. So anyway, it's a fast read. It's a good read. And then like sort of concurrently, I've also been reading this book of poetry about, oh fuck. Sorry, that was all of my dark chocolate crisps falling on the floor.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll just eat them anyway. I've been reading this book of poetry called She Walks in Beauty, A Woman's Journey Through Poems. And so it's like a compilation of a lot of different poems by different poets with like all the different like times in a woman's life, you know, like falling in love, making love, getting married, what, you know, it, like everything. And it's been like a very calming factor in all of the Trump mania. So that's great. And then I'm actually reading a third book by Alice Walker at the same time. And I feel like I've been reading that book for like 2 months, but I just took a really long break. So Vicky, I don't think that you're alone. And I think that it's fine. Just like find time whenever you can to read and you'll be okay.
Yep.
All right. So we have one more voicemail from Greg, and I guess we're going to get into that. So yay. It's been a very interesting night.
Hey, Bods. It's Greg. I was calling in with a quick question. As well as just a compliment, I just want to say I love all the podcasts you guys have been doing, love all the episodes, and can't wait for this next one. It's always a good time. Anyway, dang. On a recent episode, there was some discussion about a certain body part being 12 inches. So, and kind of the discussion was that's probably like way too big, you know, like crazy. So on that topic, to kind of go off on that, can't believe this hasn't been asked to you guys yet. Seems like a pretty obvious question to throw some ladies discussing things as you are. Although I guess with all this body party stuff, this is probably put to the back of everybody's mind. But I'm going to take us there. So my question is, so if 12 inches is too big, my main question is, so what is a, say, acceptable size for in your mind, and what would be too small? You know, what are your thoughts? You know, what is the range that it should be, if you will? Not that we can really control it, but what in your mind, what's acceptable? All right, well, I hope that makes sense. Catch you guys later.
All right, so what do you guys think?
What a naughty little question. I don't know. I subscribe to the thought of, I don't know. I don't, it sounds cliche, but I don't think size matters. I really do think it is how you utilize the size you have. I think 12 inches is like, if it doesn't fit, okay. If I can't fit.
So I would say, okay, I would say that if you sent this question into the Married Man show, they would probably say that it's not the size that matters. It's how you use it or the girth or something. And oh my goodness.
That's two different things.
But I would agree with that. I think sometimes girth is more important than length.
Oh, yes. Yes. I would say it's always more important than length. But anyway, that's a side note.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway, Colleen.
The people out there can't see the... I'm making a very creepy face.
There you go.
I'm coughing and it's disgusting at the same time. Okay, so... fuck you, desert air.
So I guess you've ruled out living in the desert.
You know, it's funny. I actually love California, and I would live there. I really would if I, you know, made $1 million a year and could afford it.
If I could breathe.
But like, also the breathing thing, the desert air is—it's no joke. Like, fuck that shit. Yeah. So,
penis size,
dick size.
That's what we're on.
Yeah, I was like, where were we? Yes.
Ideal dick size. And what's too small?
Yay, dicks, maybe? Average, yay?
I think it just needs to be big enough that you feel something.
Yes, and just a tip for the men out there.
Just a tip.
Oh, I see what you did there. Just a tip. I will say that when you're trying to get that good old vaginal orgasm, it's about the angle, not the size, so... Just Google. Yeah,
it's about the lady. It's about the lady, though, too, because only
yeah,
like
that's true. I guess I don't know. I've never been another lady.
No, but I'm just saying, 70% of women don't have vaginal orgasms. So
I'm just saying.
Well, and also, don't even like that. Every lady part is shaped differently.
Yes it is. Know? Again,
so we're working with stuff different. So it's sort of like it's more like finding a lid to your pot. It's
going to
be different for everyone.
Well, I will also just add that most women do not have vaginal orgasms. So if you do, that's awesome. If you do not feel weird because most women do not. Secondly, to answer the question about ideal dick size, I would say as somebody who enjoys also the not dick, whatever. Like, there are so many things that you can be doing down there that, like, you don't even need a dick for. So,
yeah.
No, but whatever, like big thick dick, medium sized dick, or like no dick at all, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay, what were we talking about again? Dicks, sizes, everything is great. Oh man, I feel like this is literally, we're gonna have to re-answer this question next week, Greg.
I don't know. I feel pretty confident in my answer.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in my answer, too.
12 inches scary?
Yes. Guys... 12 inches will always be scary.
12 inches interesting, but like...
No, scary.
I'll run the gamut. It's
yeah.
It's all good.
I don't think my torso is 12 inches. I am very short torsoed. So, yeah, that's too big. Gotta find yourself a bigger hole.
So, on that note, thanks, Greg, for calling in and letting us martini answer your questions, because I feel very martini-esque right now, which is weird because usually I've had like 4 glasses of wine at this point and make more sense than 2 martinis. So
it's not the same booze content.
That's very true.
It's a little more, get a little more bang for your buck.
I know. Right? I also look really rough in the video, so stop looking at me, guys. I'm on California time, okay?
Me too.
Don't look at me.
Fuck you, Shandy. You also get to wake up on California time. I go to bed at California time, and then I wake up on Eastern Coast time.
That's rough.
Well, a few more days, and I'll be back on schedule.
Yeah, it'll be fine. All right. Do we have anything else to talk about?
I had a thing, but I can save it for next week if we want to.
Okay.
Wrap it up.
I had a thing too, but Amanda, if you have a thing, go for it. I mean, why not?
Well, at this point, it seems a little anticlimactic. We can just wait till next week.
It's not about rape or politics
or dick size, so who cares?
We have no episode title this week, do we? Oh, it's going to be Martinis and Fritos.
Yep, Martinis and Fritos.
Because they have literally defined this episode, at least for me.
Yeah. I should have gone for the third. Two was not enough. I drank them too slowly. I'm feeling fine.
Yeah. And I'm feeling good. Yes, I was going to say, sing it, because you don't have a sinus infection. So Zach wants me to sing to him every night to sleep. And I can't breathe right now. Like, I'm so stuffed up. It's been rough. Like, I feel really bad. I'm like, I'm sorry that Bobby doesn't have a pretty singing voice right now. My singing voice is going to give you nightmares. Everybody eat an olive. Hashtag.
I already ate all mine.
Oh, well, I'm about to. If you want, check out facebook.com/group/JaneJackGroups or go to the Jane Jack Patreon page if you are a patron. And I'm going to post pictures of the stickers that Aunt Cindy gave us. And if you are one of the first, I hope, two people to respond that you want one, then, you know, it's all yours. I'll message you for your address. And again, hashtag I'm with hers. We're not being political. We're literally just being narcissistic because hers is us. Thank you to our patrons, especially Brad, Tack, and Eckhart. We really appreciate you guys every month.
If you want to be a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JanJack.
Oh, you can check Shani and I out on The Tribe. We talk about Survivor. Also, Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen is where I can be found, as well as Shani next week. You're going to be our guest, right?
Yay! That's right.
Hashtag.
So excited.
This past week, Jackson, California for 2 weeks. So this past week, we had Mike Bloom. If you are a fan of the Jane Jack Network and you're watching Westworld, which I'm watching, which is awesome. How is it?
It's good?
Really good. It's really good. So Jane Jack have a new podcast on. It's Westworld with Jay Jack and Mike. So check that out as well. You can search for it on iTunes or it's on the whole enchilada feed. And it's been really good. I've really enjoying that show very much. That's, I guess, about it. Check out the Married Man show because we get crossover questions. Be a patron. Yay. If you have met Trump, we would love to hear from you as well. And that is thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or you can call us 331-276-2373. I guess that is about it for us for this week. Everybody get out there and vote.
But do your research. Don't just vote blindly.
Yeah, do that.
Hashtag don't assault people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be kind to your fellow man and woman.
Yes.
Be a good neighbor of the world.
Yeah.
Respect.
All right, bitches. Does anybody else have anything to bring up before we go?
Nope.
Nope. I'm good. I'm going to save my thing for next week.
Okay. I'm going to say vagina.
I'm going to say pussy.
Yeah, everybody grab this show by the pussy.
Grab your pussy. Grab your own pussy. That's the one pussy you can grab.
Yeah,
grab it.
Yes,
but make sure you ask for consent first.
From yourself.
From yourself. Or grab your kitten.
Am I feeling good about this?
Grab your kitten.
Grab your kitten.
Grab your kitten.
But yeah. We will talk to you next week, I guess. Oh my god, I feel like we have to say something really super funny because this has been very serious and real life. Yeah.
Farts, 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 burps, burps, balloons, kittens, puppies.
Penis! Squatty putty!
12-inch dick, yo!
Okay, that's just scary.
Halloween.
Ooh,
could
Halloween.
Go as a 12-inch dick for Halloween.
Hey. That's what she said.
All right, guys. I love you all. I guess on that note, that's it. I hope everyone has a great week. Please give us your feedback. You can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or you can call us 331-BROADS3. That is 331-276-2373. Put it in your phone so you don't ever have to listen to us say that again. Oh, it's 11:11. Everyone make a wish. Make a wish. It'll carry over.
It's 8:11 where I'm at.
It's 11:11
well,
for me.
Then you don't get to make a wish.
No, everybody makes a wish by proxy. Everybody makes a wish by proxy.
Okay.
Yeah, I already did. I'm on it.
All right, good.
I wish that Trump doesn't get elected.
Oh, that's don't waste your wish on that. That's not.
Yeah, don't wait. Yeah. At this point,
I have another 11:11 coming in 3 hours.
That's what she said. So, all right, bitches. On that.
On that note,
I guess I'll see you all soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Peace out. Can you guys hear me? Did I go low?
You did not go low.
Oh, shit.
You did not.
When they go high, we go low.
Trump will. I was just going to say.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're
barely.
Yeah, all you're right. Soft when you're about to play a.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Yeah. Like right. The good kind of soft.
Is there a good kind of soft? Is there?
Is therapy kind of soft? Is that what you asked?
No, I said, is there a good kind of soft?
Therapy is kind of expensive.
Not that we have Patreon, dude. Hashtag dude, pay
I just got
Amanda's
my last
therapy
payment
bill.
For next month. It's right. $500. It's so expensive. Oh, I don't God. Like being a crazy person. It's so expensive.
Okay.
I feel fatigued, like I just had like crazy sex against the wall or something.
Yeah, that was a big one. You were like exercising a demon.
And it was just flab. And you know what? I didn't even pee in my pants once.
Yay! Well, that's progress. Because I'm sure your bladder is got some stuff in there.
But that's also the that's prime blooper reel there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm drinking my liquor.
Because okay. nothing soothes a coughing fit like a martini.
I'm gonna grab my boob because it makes me feel comfortable.
Do it, girl.
Do it. Doing that, I was like,
fucking
I don't.
Do
I don't
it.
Even need to.
Right.
It just feels real good.
Feels real good. It's gonna get in there and just you know.
I'm so sorry, guys. Like, I didn't realize doing that. Like, I literally feel, like, so comfortable now. I'm like, ooh.
Don't even be sorry.
Why do you think I keep such a tight... So I can just, you know, whenever I feel like it. It's like a security blanket.
What we're talking about... we're still talking about Trump, like...
we're talking about some full assault.
Fuck that guy.
that delightful topic.
This was a question. Uh-huh. In the Jay and Jack political overview, I've been reading. I feel like reading my time has.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, I've had a lot of martinis.